We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Representative Regenberg, as we know, the Speaker of the House is generally considered the most powerful elected official in Rodan. So do you think Speaker Mattiello should take any steps to more widely share his power with committee chairs and other rank-and-file lawmakers?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I say this all the time, but I do want to point out, as a progressive, and people talk all the time about how, you know, there's different ideologies in the House, I want to give leadership credit. We've had some significant progressive wins in the 2 years I've been up there. Just personally, I've been lucky enough to be involved in, you know, successful efforts to increase the tip minimum wage, to get some new exciting renewable energy programs. The list goes on. And so I think there's got to give credit for an ability to compromise and draw ideas from all sides of the room.
Sure, fair enough. But correct me if I'm wrong. I believe when Speaker Mattiello first became Speaker after winning a leadership fight in 2014, he told the lawmakers, this is going to be your house. Has he really followed through on that kind of pledge?
My personal opinion, I think greater openness and transparency and democratic decision making is always a good thing. So I certainly think that the General Assembly and the House could do a lot more in sort of opening up how decisions get made. And that's something I say pretty regularly.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, you may be proud of the minimum wage, but isn't it kind of a disgrace that come January, Rhode Island's minimum wage will be $1.40 an hour below Massachusetts? So how can you say the House leadership and this big Democratic majority are actually helping working people in this state when, in fact, we are going to be so much lower than Massachusetts, and the legislature refused to pass, despite the AFL-CIO and other people pushing, refused to raise the minimum wage last session?
Well, I certainly did not say I was satisfied with the progress we've made. You got to point out the victories you get, but at the same time, of course, it's not enough. There are so many families that are struggling, so many Rhode Islanders that are still suffering. And that's what, you know, inspires us to keep working, keep fighting, redoubling our effort. I'm excited that next session, I think we're going to have some new progressive voices to continue elevating those issues. There are a number of candidates who really based a big part of their platform and their campaigns on the fight for 15, that if you're working full time in Rhode Island, you should not live in poverty. The fact that there are people who work full-time and live in poverty is a disgrace. It's a shame. It's bad for our economy because, as we know, when folks have more money in their pocket, they can invest in their local stores and businesses. So I think this is a big issue, and I'm going to keep hammering down on that next year along with my colleagues.
You're a supporter of a Providence ordinance known as the Community Safety Act, which is intended to reduce racial profiling by police. Those in law enforcement say there are some aspects to this ordinance that would undermine their ability to do their job. Do you think it's going to be possible to reconcile these differences between the two sides on this ordinance?
Well, Ian, I'd say we have to. We live in a country where being black in and of itself can be a death sentence. It doesn't matter if your hands are up. It doesn't matter if you're, as we've seen just this week, sitting in your car reading a book waiting for your kid.
But we're not seeing this in Providence, are we?
I think when you go to the hearings on the Community Safety Act, and by the way, I am, you know, it's a city level ordinance, so as a state rep, I can't vote on it, but I've been supportive and I am really inspired and impressed by the young people, the organizers from communities of color who've been leading this campaign. You go to those meetings and you hear stories, and, you know, working with young people in my career, you hear stories every day. There is racial profiling. There is kids coming home from school. They're just wearing a hoodie and they're pulled over and said, "What gang do you belong to?" There are all of these incidents. I hear it from my constituents. I represent, among other neighborhoods, Mount Hope, which is a primarily African-American neighborhood. And so I get calls from my constituents. There are definitely issues, and the Community Safety Act is not a radical ordinance. It is a set of really reasonable reforms that I think everyone should be able to get on board with. From what I hear, they're close. And so, you know, I'd encourage everyone, we got to get down and we got to figure this out.
Aren't there some foolish things in there, though, like getting these committees involved in the labor contracts between the management of the police and their union?
What are you talking about specifically?
In this act, in this ordinance. They want to review the labor contracts. I mean, that to me seems not a violation of the process of collective bargaining.
You know, I've heard some complaints about the process. There are pieces of the ordinance that are currently law and just want to be repeated. There are different pieces. I think the coalition is willing to come to some compromise to find, you know, the things that we can actually do. But let's be clear. There are some pieces In the contract, there's some pieces in the Officer's Bill of Rights that, to me, do not seem reasonable, do not seem how we're going to create police-community relations that are beneficial for all of our members, including community members of color.
We're talking here with State Representative Aaron Regenberg, a Providence Democrat. You're running for re-election this fall, and you have about $72,000 in your campaign account. That's a pretty healthy amount. Does this suggest that you may be interested in running for higher office in the future?
Ian, we've got a whole lot of work to do in the General Assembly.
Are you going to rule out running for higher office?
I'm never going to rule out. I want to be where I can make the greatest impact on the progressive values that I care about. Right now, I think there's a whole lot we need to do in the General Assembly. And to me, I want to have a political system where money doesn't matter. I want to, Connecticut, right across the border, they have public financing of elections. I believe in that. I'm going to advocate for that. But until we do that, I think raising money is part of the process where you build your power. And if we want to win progressive victories, we need to have progressive power.
Yes or no, should we build that power plant in Burrillville?
Absolutely not.
Well, that's good. You didn't fudge that one. That's great.
We have emissions reduction goals.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we need to do to reach them. For us to lock ourselves in to fossil fuel future, a $1 billion investment in new fossil fuel infrastructure, it is a crime against our children. And by the way, it's not good economic policy. When we invest in renewable energies, we're keeping those dollars circulating in our local economy. When we invest in fossil fuels, we're sending those dollars out to the Pennsylvania, the Marcellus Shale, natural gas fracking.
Do you expect state regulators to approve or reject this proposal?
I'm hoping that they reject it. I can't say I have the tea leaves. I think, last year people said it was a done deal, and it is a testament to what organizing and movement building can do that now it doesn't seem to be a done deal. By the way, I want to add, there is another huge major natural gas fossil fuel infrastructure project, that is the LNG facility in Fields Point in Providence. And by the way, unlike Burrillville, that one is one that all of us are paying for. That's a $180 million project that National Grid will have the ratepayers, you and me, pay for in order to deepen our dependency on fossil fuels. That is a bad deal for ratepayers. It's a bad deal for the local community that's already dealing with issues of environmental racism and pollution. And it is a bad deal for the future of Rhode Island if we want to keep some state left in the ocean state.
Switching gears a little bit, Governor Raimondo's approval rating came at 38% in a poll released earlier this week. How do you think the governor is doing, and what's your explanation for why her approval rating is at that level?
Well, you know what? I think that my answer to that question will change a lot depending on what happens with this Burrillville power plant. I'm gonna be happy if we end up doing the right thing on there, and I'm gonna be very upset if we don't.
Quick question: what are you personally? You were a big Bernie Sanders supporter in the primaries. What are you personally doing to get his supporters, particularly young people like yourself, to vote for the Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton, who's not all that popular among some of your progressive friends?
I advocate whenever I talk to Bernie supporters that we want to pull the Democratic Party to the left, and that work needs to happen. But first and foremost, we need to defeat fascism. There's going to be no pulling of the Democratic Party to the left with Donald Trump in the White House. And so, I'd say to everyone out there who's a Bernie fan, who's thinking about this election, it is critically important that we elect Hillary Clinton and stop Donald Trump from setting foot in the White House.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you, Ian.
And State Representative Aaron Regenberg, a Providence Democrat.
Thanks for having me.